Hey everyone, Jordan Thomas here, and I'm thrilled to be your guide for today's deep dive into some truly critical information.
And I'm Taylor Adams. Great to be here.
As always, I'm joined by the brilliant mind of Taylor Adams, our expert, who seems to connect dots others don't even see and, well, make complex topics incredibly clear.
It's a pleasure, Jordan. And you're right. The stakes here, they're incredibly high.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into why the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the U.S. Department of Justice need to adopt Rapid7 to secure and accelerate speed to mission. Our mission today essentially is to unpack the compelling case for Rapid7's adoption for these really vital federal departments. We'll explore the complex, you know, constantly evolving threat landscape they face, the stringent mandates they absolutely must meet, and precisely how Rapid7's comprehensive platform aligns with their mission requirements.
And we'll get into the specifics too.
Exactly. And crucially, we'll get into the granular details of who Rapid7 should be talking to within these massive organizations and why. To guide us through this, we've pored over a stack of detailed analyses and strategic blueprints, really laying out the opportunity, the solutions, and the actionable strategies for federal cybersecurity.
Yeah, what's truly fascinating here, Jordan, isn't just the technology itself, though that's interesting, but the sheer scale and criticality of this topic. We're talking about the very core of our nation's defense against sophisticated cyber threats, you know, safeguarding critical infrastructure, protecting the intricate web of federal networks that keep everything running.
It's huge.
It is. This isn't merely about deploying new software. It's about bolstering national security and ensuring the effective enforcement of justice in an increasingly digital and often hostile age. By the end of this deep dive, you'll have a much clearer picture of not just the multi-billion dollar opportunity Rapid7 has, but more importantly, how their integrated approach could be a genuine game changer for these departments, really moving them beyond mere compliance to achieving profound, measurable security outcomes.
That's a powerful setup. So let's jump right in. Our sources highlight that DHS and DOJ represent, well, arguably the largest and most strategic cybersecurity opportunity in the federal government. Can you break down the scale of this opportunity for us and what makes the timing so uniquely optimal right now?
Absolutely, Jordan. The numbers alone, they paint a compelling picture. When you look at DHS and DOJ combined, their annual cybersecurity spending already exceeds a staggering $3
billion. $3
billion?
Yeah. And if we zoom out to the broader federal landscape, the civilian cybersecurity budget for fiscal year 2025 is projected at a massive $13 billion. So this isn't just a big piece of the pie. It's, you know, the heart of the federal government's digital defense.
Okay.
Now, what uniquely positions Rapid7 to capture a significant slice of this market, and frankly, why the timing is so optimal, is really a confluence of factors. First, Rapid7 achieved its FedRAMP moderate authorization in July 2025. Now, this isn't just a regulatory checkbox, okay?
Right.
It's a critical prerequisite for deploying cloud-based solutions within federal civilian executive branch, or FCEB, agencies. It effectively fast-tracks procurement, offering immediate deployment capability without those, well, notoriously lengthy agency authorization to operate, or ATO, processes that can otherwise bog down critical modernizations for a month, if not years.
If that ATO process can be brutal.
It really can. Secondly, the threat landscape is, well, it's escalating dramatically. We're seeing an increase in nation-state threats, like the very recent Chinese cyber attacks on telecommunications infrastructure, and a relentless barrage of ransomware threats targeting critical infrastructure. These aren't just headlines, they're daily operational realities for these folks. Simultaneously, a wave of mandatory federal cybersecurity directives are creating unprecedented and urgent demand for advanced security solutions. Agencies within both DHS and DOJ are now under strict mandates to implement continuous vulnerability management, adopt zero trust architecture, and significantly enhance their threat detection and response capabilities.
And these aren't optional.
Not at all. These aren't optional requests. They are explicit requirements, and they align directly and perfectly with Rapid7's core platform strengths. So if we connect this to the bigger picture, you can see how this isn't just a vendor making a sales pitch. It's a profound strategic alignment of Rapid7's capabilities with urgent national security needs, hitting a critical sweet spot in the federal budgeting and mandate cycle.
That really puts the scale into perspective. But okay, for the people on the front lines, the security teams and analysts, what kind of threats are DHS and DOJ truly up against that make their current, often fragmented approaches unsustainable? What's the daily reality like for them?
It's an incredibly challenging and dynamic landscape, Jordan, and it truly makes any static manual approach just unworkable. First, you have the sheer sophistication of nation-state adversaries and advanced persistent threats, or APTs. Our sources explicitly name the People's Republic of China as arguably the most active and persistent threat actor, but significant threats also emanate from Russia, Iran, and North Korea.
The usual suspects, unfortunately.
Right. And these aren't your typical smash-and-grab hackers. These groups are engaged in long-term, highly resourced campaigns for espionage, disruption of critical government services, and, frankly, outright sabotage. Countering them requires far more than traditional signature-based detection. It demands advanced capabilities like behavioral analytics, deep threat intelligence, and the ability to detect subtle, evolving indicators of intrusion that, well, a human eye simply can't catch at scale.
It's too much data.
Way too much. Then there's a concerning blurring of lines between state and criminal actors. Adversary nations are increasingly leveraging criminal proxies as a tool of state power, or at least turning a blind eye to ransomware groups operating within their borders. This complicates attribution immensely and makes effective response far more difficult. An attack that initially appears to be simple criminal extortion might, in fact, be a state-sponsored operation designed to test defenses or cause disruption.
So you don't always know who you're really dealing with.
Exactly. This complex environment puts immense pressure on DHS components like the U.S. Secret Service and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, as well as the DOJ's FBI, all tasked with investigating and dismantling these transnational criminal organizations that pose a threat to both national and economic security. And we can't ignore the sheer challenge of scale and environmental complexity. Federal departments operate some of the largest and most intricate IT environments globally.
Just massive.
Their attack surfaces are truly vast, encompassing everything from decades-old legacy on-premise data centers to cutting-edge multi-cloud deployments and even a growing number of operational technology, or OT, and industrial control systems, or ICS, that manage critical infrastructure. This hybrid complexity creates dangerous visibility gaps that adversaries are constantly trying to exploit. Security teams struggle mightily to conduct comprehensive asset inventories, identify vulnerabilities, and detect threats that move laterally between on-premise and cloud systems without a unified view across these disparate environments.
It sounds like trying to guard a sprawling city where new buildings pop up daily and old ones have hidden tunnels nobody knows about.
That's a great analogy. And finally, and perhaps most critically, there are pervasive resource and staffing constraints. There's a severe and persistent shortage of cybersecurity talent across the public sector.
We hear that everywhere.
It's a huge issue. Budget constraints and the difficulty of competing with private sector salaries make it exceptionally difficult for agencies to recruit and retain the staff needed to maintain a robust 24/7 defense. This workforce gap means that existing security teams are often overwhelmed, spending the majority of their time on manual reactive tasks rather than proactive threat hunting and strategic improvement. This reality creates a powerful and urgent business case for solutions that provide force multiplication through intelligent automation, advanced analytics, and operational efficiency, allowing agencies to achieve a more robust security posture with their existing, often stretched personnel.
Wow. So if I'm understanding this correctly, the traditional approach of simply trying to throw more bodies at the problem, it's just not a viable long-term solution anymore. Agencies need something that fundamentally changes how their existing teams operate.
Precisely. It's about working smarter, not just harder, and leveraging technology to multiply the effectiveness of their skilled but limited human capital. That's the core challenge and, frankly, the opportunity here.
Okay. Given these monumental threats and resource constraints, the government hasn't been sitting idly by. Our sources highlight a whole wave of mandates and directives. What are the key policy drivers that are really forcing cybersecurity investment and modernization in these departments?
You're right, Jordan. The government has responded with a robust, though undeniably complex, policy and mandate framework. Let's start with executive orders, which often set the strategic direction from the very top. Executive Order 14028, issued back in 2021, titled Improving the Nation's Cybersecurity, was a landmark directive.
I remember that one making waves.
It really did. It mandated that agencies adopt zero trust architecture, enhance software supply chain security, standardize incident response, and improve threat information sharing. More recently, Executive Order 13306, issued just this past June 2025, modified some of those previous orders. Importantly, it scaled back some prescriptive requirements like certain software accounting processes that were seen as, quote, unproven and burdensome, that prioritized compliance checklists over genuine security investments.
Interesting shift.
It's a crucial and telling shift in focus, moving from mere checkbox compliance to demanding tangible security outcomes and measurable risk reduction. This evolution strongly favors solutions that provide deep risk context and actionable analytics.
So results over just paperwork.
Exactly. Then we have CISA directives, which act as the tactical enforcement mechanism, coming with strict, often aggressive deadlines. These include binding operational directives, or BODs, and emergency directives, or EDs. For example, ED 2502 required immediate action to mitigate a specific Microsoft Exchange vulnerability. BOD 2501 mandates aligning cloud environments with secure cloud business applications, or SCUBA baselines, identifying cloud tenants and deploying specific assessment tools. Perhaps one of the most impactful is BOD 2201, which specifically requires federal agencies to identify and remediate known exploited vulnerabilities, or KEVs, within prescribed very tight timeframes, sometimes as little as 14 days, or generally within 6 months.
14 days, that's intense.
It is. There's also BOD 23-01, focusing on fundamental asset visibility and vulnerability management. These incredibly short compliance windows make any manual approach absolutely untenable. Beyond directives, foundational frameworks like the NIST Cybersecurity Framework 2.0 provide a common language for risk management across the entire federal government and critical infrastructure. The recently updated CSF 2.0 introduces a vital new govern function, which emphasizes establishing and monitoring risk management strategy and integrating it into broader enterprise risk management.
So making cyber risk a C-suite conversation.
Precisely. It means cybersecurity is now seen as a core mission component requiring executive oversight and directly supports unified platforms for consolidated risk views. And we certainly can't forget the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation, or CDM, program. This represents a significant $469.8 million opportunity for fiscal year 2025 alone.
Almost $500 million.
Just for CDM. It requires comprehensive vulnerability scanning, asset management, and security configuration tools. And importantly, Rapid7 already has solutions on the CDM products list. Finally, FISMA compliance, which is always foundational, mandates continuous monitoring, risk-based vulnerability assessment, and automated compliance reporting.
Okay, that's quite an avalanche of requirements. So if we connect this to the bigger picture, what's the bottom line? What's the fundamental shift federal agencies must make to not just survive, but truly thrive in this incredibly complex environment?
The inescapable conclusion, Jordan, is really a twofold fundamental shift. First, there's a critical evolution from mere compliance to demonstrable security outcomes. Government policy, as we saw with ILWA 14306, is moving decisively past compliance checklists to demanding genuine security investments. Agencies are now tasked with proving a comprehensive understanding of their entire attack surface, accurately prioritizing risks based on real-world threat intelligence and mission impact, and crucially, reducing their exposure in a timely and measurable manner.
Proving it, not just saying they're doing it.
Exactly. This absolutely necessitates a platform that can unify disparate security data vulnerabilities, threats, asset criticality, user behavior into a single contextualized view of risk. The value proposition for any security vendor must shift fundamentally from "we help you check boxes for mandate X" to "we provide the unified visibility and risk context to achieve measurable security outcomes mandated by X and all other directives." This positions a vendor as a true strategic partner in risk management.
Makes sense.
Secondly, and just as critically, automation is no longer a luxury. It's a mission-critical necessity. The operational tempo dictated by CISA directives, such as the remediation of KVs within as little as 14 days.
Yeah, the 14-day deadline again.
Right. Combined with the persistent cybersecurity skills gap across the federal sector, it means that manual processes are simply destined to fail. Automating the entire lifecycle from discovery and prioritization of assets and vulnerabilities to remediation, tracking, deployment, and verification is essential for operating at federal scale and speed. Security orchestration, automation, and response, or SOAR, is therefore not just a nice-to-have capability for the SOC. It is a fundamental requirement for an agency to meet its legal obligations and effectively defend its networks. Automation directly enables both legal compliance and robust mission defense, allowing agencies to do significantly more with their existing, often stretched, human resources. It's about giving them that force multiplier.
A force multiplier. That's a great way to put it. It sounds like they need technology that makes their existing teams far more effective, freeing them from repetitive tasks without necessarily adding more headcount.
Precisely. Empowering the human element through intelligent automation is the only sustainable path forward in this environment.
So this brings us to Rapid7's big play here, their Insight GovCloud platform. What specifically makes this platform uniquely suited for the federal government, starting with that critical FedRAMP authorization you mentioned earlier?
That FedRAMP authorization is absolutely foundational, Jordan. Rapid7's Insight GovCloud platform achieved its FedRAMP authorization to operate, or ATO, at the moderate impact level in July 2025. This isn't just a bureaucratic checkbox, it's the critical prerequisite for any cloud-based solution to be deployed within federal civilian executive branch agencies.
Got it. It's the entry ticket.
It really is. This authorization means the platform has undergone a rigorous, standardized assessment of its architecture, security controls, and operational processes against the very high government standards outlined in NIST Special Publication 853. It's an independent objective validation. What this translates to for federal agencies is immediate deployment capability. It effectively unlocks procurement and dramatically accelerates the deployment process by reducing the friction and lengthy agency ATO process.
Ones that take forever.
Exactly. The ones that can take significant time and resources. This FedRAMP moderate status is widely regarded as a gold standard, even by other highly regulated industries, building immense trust in the platform's security posture. The benefits are clear. Agencies get a continuously updated SOS platform with the latest threat intelligence, and crucially, it's a U.S.-based FIPS-compliant deployment, ensuring sensitive government data stays in country and meets stringent federal cryptographic requirements.
It's a big deal for federal.
Huge. What's fascinating here is that this isn't just a technical hurdle. It's a massive trust signal for any federal agency looking to modernize its cybersecurity infrastructure. It significantly de-risks the adoption of cloud-native solutions, which is essential for innovation.
Okay, you've mentioned unified platform repeatedly. Let's dig into that. What's the core architectural advantage that truly breaks down those notorious silos in government security teams? Because, you know, we hear about single pane of glass constantly, but it often remains elusive in practice.
You hit on a key point, Jordan. The single pane of glass has been a cybersecurity holy grail for years. The Insight platform's core architectural advantage lies in its comprehensive data ingestion and centralized data lake, which directly tackles those silos. The platform collects and unifies security telemetry from across the entire hybrid enterprise. This means data from endpoints, servers, network devices, and cloud services, all brought in through a combination of lightweight agents, on-premise collectors, network sensors, and direct cloud integrations.
So pulling it all together.
Exactly. All of this diverse, high-fidelity data is then centralized in the Insight Cloud, where it powers multiple security disciplines from that single shared data lake. This unified approach fundamentally dismantles the operational silos that have long plagued government security teams. Historically, vulnerability management teams, security operations centers, or SOCs, and IT operations teams have often used their own disparate tools with their own data sets.
Leading to finger-pointing and delays.
Precisely. Fragmented risk views, finger-pointing, significant friction during incident response and remediation efforts. With the Insight platform, there's a shared, integrated view accessible to all stakeholders. This fosters collaboration, builds trust, and drastically reduces wasted effort. For instance, when the SOC investigates an alert, they can see the full vulnerability and asset context directly from the same platform, understanding the exposure of the compromised system. When IT operations receives a remediation ticket, it's enriched with the same risk prioritization and threat intelligence used by the security team, telling them why this fix is urgent.
Context is everything.
It really is. This shared context is the key to accelerating the entire security lifecycle, from initial detection to response and final remediation. It truly delivers on the promise of that single pane of glass.
That truly sounds like a game changer for a security team. It moves them from guessing games and fragmented information to a cohesive understanding of their environment. So let's get into the specifics of Rapid7's toolset. How do their core products directly map to federal requirements and mandates in a practical sense?
Okay, let's do a deep dive into each component because they each play a critical role in meeting these federal needs. Starting with Insight VM for Vulnerability Risk Management. Its capabilities go way beyond traditional scanning. It offers dynamic asset discovery across both on-prem and cloud environments, ensuring a complete, continuously updated inventory. The real differentiator here, though, is its AI-driven active risk scoring. This integrates real-world threat context from Rapid7's global research, exploit knowledge from the Metasploit framework, and data on actual attacker behavior.
So not just a CVSS score.
Exactly. It means agencies aren't just getting a raw vulnerability score. They're seeing which risks are most likely to be exploited in the wild and have the greatest potential impact. For federal alignment, this directly helps agencies comply with CISA BOD 2201, remember, remediate known exploited vulnerabilities within prescribed timeframes.
Right, the KEVs.
It also fits perfectly within the CDM program for foundational asset discovery and vulnerability management, and supports FISMA compliance with customizable dashboards and reporting for continuous monitoring. It truly moves beyond just finding vulnerabilities. It helps agencies intelligently prioritize and act on the ones that actually matter most.
Okay, that makes sense. What's next?
Next, we have Insight IDR for Cloud SIEM and Extended Detection and Response, or XDR. This is Rapid7's cloud-native SIEM and XDR solution. It collects and analyzes a wide array of telemetry logs, endpoint data via the Insight agent, and network traffic, unifying them into a single contextualized view. Insight IDR really excels at detecting the stealthy techniques used by APTs that target federal agencies. It features integrated user and entity behavior analytics, or UEBA.
UEBA.
To baseline normal activity and detect anomalies like compromised credentials, insider threats, or lateral movement within a network. It also embeds real-time threat intelligence and offers natural language search, along with automated containment actions. This directly addresses the government-wide endpoint detection and response mandate established in Executive Order 14028, helps defend against nation-state actors, supports federal incident response, and assists components like ICE in fulfilling stringent CJIS requirements for audit logging, incident detection, and response.
So detection and response, tightly integrated.
Precisely. Then there's Insight Connect for Security Orchestration, Automation, and Response, or MINA-R. This is where that force multiplier truly comes to life. It features a user-friendly, no-code workflow builder, allowing security teams to automate repetitive, time-consuming tasks. It boasts an extensive plugin library for hundreds of third-party tools, enabling powerful automated workflows or playbooks for everything from alert enrichment and phishing investigations to orchestrating the full vulnerability remediation lifecycle.
Taking the manual work out.
Exactly. This acts as a significant force multiplier for talent shortage agencies, freeing up analysts for high-value tasks like threat hunting and strategic planning, and ensuring consistent, rapid response. It's critical for achieving zero trust at scale, directly aiding BOD 23.01 by automating asset discovery and vulnerability mitigation, and enabling faster incident response consistent with EO 128's goals. Imagine automating the entire process of detecting a critical vulnerability, opening a ticket, pushing a patch, and verifying the fix. That's the power Insight Connect brings.
That's huge for efficiency. What else is in the toolbox?
We have Insight AppSec for Dynamic Application Security Testing, or DAST. This solution automatically assesses modern web applications and APIs for vulnerabilities without needing access to the source code, which is crucial for third-party or legacy apps. It provides rich technical details and an attack replay feature for developers to easily understand and fix issues, integrating smoothly with dev tools like Jira. This directly addresses critical application security concerns, aligning with EO 14028's push for enhanced software supply chain security, helping agencies build security into their software development lifecycle, or SDLC, and significantly reducing the risk of deploying vulnerable applications into production.
So securing the apps themselves. Makes sense.
Then, Metasploit Pro for penetration testing and security validation. This is a powerful professional penetration testing framework that offers federal compliance reporting templates and closed-loop integration with vulnerability management. It serves the unique and often highly specialized needs of federal agencies, such as DOJ's cybercrime investigation capabilities and DHS's critical infrastructure protection mission. It provides the security control validation required under FISMA and other federal mandates, and it's widely used by government red teams and security researchers globally to simulate real-world attacks and validate defenses.
A familiar name in the security world.
Very much so. We also have Managed Detection and Response, or MDR, for 247 Security Operations Service. This service provides 247 expert monitoring, threat hunting, incident analysis, and direct response guidance, effectively augmenting agency security operations centers. It's a direct answer to persistent cybersecurity staffing shortages, a key focus of EO 14028. It provides around-the-clock expert monitoring where agencies have limited SOC staffing, perhaps like at ICE, and embodies zero trust in practice through constant vigilance, ensuring no threat goes unnoticed.
Like having an expert team on call 247.
Exactly. Finally, there's Threat Command for External Threat Intelligence and Digital Risk Protection. This capability monitors the open, deep, and dark web for mentions of agency assets like domains, credentials, or leaked data. It provides curated threat intelligence feeds and alerts for phishing campaigns, data leaks, and brand impersonation with rapid takedown capabilities averaging 85% success in under 24 hours.
Finding the threats before they hit the network.
Yeah, precisely. This helps CISA's threat hunters, serves the FBI's intelligence mission by providing external context, supports the never trust external sources aspect of zero trust, extends BOD 2301 by discovering external assets and threats, aligns with EO 14028's emphasis on threat information sharing and proactive risk management, and aids TX 3.0 by guarding the external footprint of federal networks.
That's a truly comprehensive suite. What really stands out to me here, Taylor, is how each piece isn't just a standalone tool, but part of an integrated whole, constantly communicating and reinforcing each other. Sounds like a genuinely comprehensive security picture rather than just, you know, a collection of fragmented solutions.
Exactly. That integration is absolutely key. It's what allows for true context and accelerated response across the board.
Okay, let's talk Zero Trust Architecture, or ZTA. It's arguably the biggest strategic priority for the federal government right now. So how does Rapid7's platform actually help agencies build, implement, and then operate a Zero Trust environment effectively? It's one thing to talk about it, another to actually do it.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? ZTA is indeed a foundational strategic priority, driven by NIST Special Publication 800-207, which defines it as a paradigm shift away from outdated perimeter-based security. The core principle is never trust, always verify, assuming no user, device, or application is inherently trustworthy, regardless of its network location. Access is dynamic, data-driven, possession, and continuously reevaluated.
Constantly checking.
All the time. The Rapid7 Insight platform provides the core technological pillars to build and operate such an environment, transforming ZTA from a theoretical concept into an operationalized reality. Firstly, continuous monitoring and validation is absolutely essential. ZTA is impossible without comprehensive, real-time visibility into every corner of the environment. Insight VM continuously assesses the integrity and security posture of all assets, whether they're physical servers, virtual machines, or cloud instances, identifying vulnerabilities and misconfigurations that could violate ZTA policies. Simultaneously, Insight IDR monitors all activity, analyzing user behavior, endpoint processes, and network traffic for anomalies and potential threats. This constant stream of data on asset health and user activity provides the dynamic risk signals required for a ZTA policy engine to make informed, real-time access decisions. It's like having constant eyes and ears on every single interaction within the network.
Okay, so visibility is pillar one. What's next?
Secondly, for least privilege access enforcement, which is a central tenet of ZTA, Insight IDR's UEBA capability plays a crucial role. It can detect when an account, even a legitimate authenticated one, begins to access resources or perform actions outside of its normal baseline. This might indicate a potential compromise or an insider threat. Through Insight Connect, this detection can trigger an automated response, such as notifying an administrator, forcing multi-factor reauthentication, or integrating with an Identity and Access Management, or IAM, solution to temporarily suspend the account. This enforces least privilege access in real time, preventing unauthorized lateral movement or data exfiltration.
Automating that enforcement is key.
Absolutely. Lastly, for micro-segmentation support, ZTA often relies on creating granular security zones around critical applications and data to prevent lateral movement. Designing and maintaining these policies requires a deep understanding of network traffic flows and asset dependencies. Insight VM and the Insight Agent provide this detailed visibility, mapping communications between assets to help architects design effective segmentation policies. Once implemented, Insight IDR can then monitor the traffic flowing between these microsegments to detect and alert on any policy violations, ensuring the integrity and effectiveness of the ZTA architecture. It's about building walls within your network, not just around it, and then constantly verifying those walls are actually working.
That's where it gets really interesting. This is about making zero trust not just a buzzword, but a practical automated reality, something that respects the time of overstretched federal teams rather than just adding more manual overhead. It truly sounds like a shift in paradigm.
It absolutely is, and it's essential for achieving true cyber resilience in today's threat landscape. It has to be operationalized.
Okay. The CDM program, Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation, is another major government-wide effort that Rapid7 has a strong connection to. What specific role does the Insight platform play here, and how does it go beyond just, you know, checking a box on the approved products list?
Right. The CISA-led CDM program is critical. It's designed to help agencies continuously monitor their networks, identify and prioritize risks, and mitigate vulnerabilities at near real-time speed. To participate, agencies must deploy tools from the CDM-approved products list, or APL. Rapid7 already has several on-premise vulnerability management solutions included on the CDM APL, specifically Nexpose, which is the on-prem predecessor to Insight VM, AppSpider, now Insight AppSec, and Metasploit Pro. These were approved back in 2022, providing a direct, proven path for procurement.
So they're already in the door, so to speak.
Exactly. However, the strategic opportunity goes far beyond just deploying these APL point products. It lies in leveraging the full integrated power of the Insight platform. Rapid7's capabilities directly map to the core functional requirements of the CDM program as defined by CISA. For asset management, which answers the fundamental question, what is on the network? Insight VM provides comprehensive hardware and software asset management, detailed configuration settings management, and robust vulnerability management. For identity and access management, or who is on the network? Well, Insight IDR provides deep visibility into user accounts, privileges, authentication events, and its user and entity behavior analytics help determine the trustworthiness of user behavior. And for network security management, addressing what is happening on the network, Insight IDR's network traffic analysis and intrusion detection capabilities provide that crucial, holistic visibility.
Covering the key CDM pillars.
Right. Furthermore, the Insight platform can significantly enhance CDM's agency-wide adaptive risk enumeration, or AWARE, capability, which helps agencies prioritize vulnerabilities. While AWARE provides a valuable baseline, Insight VM's active risk scoring engine offers a more advanced and context-rich model. By incorporating real-time threat intelligence and exploitability data, Insight VM can provide a more accurate and actionable prioritization of risks, allowing agencies to focus their remediation efforts on the threats that pose the most immediate danger to their mission.
So better prioritization means better use of resources.
Precisely. So what does this all mean for you as a federal agency? It means a superior risk reduction outcome, ensuring you focus your limited resources on what truly matters to your mission, thereby achieving a much higher return on your security investment.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about being smarter with those finite resources. Now, you mentioned CISA directives often come with incredibly tight deadlines, especially for known exploited vulnerabilities, those KEVs. Agencies often describe these as fire drills. How does Rapid7 automate compliance and reduce risk in these critical, time-sensitive scenarios, transforming those chaotic fire drills?
That's a fantastic question, Jordan, because the problem here is stark. Short deadlines for KEV mitigation are nearly impossible to meet with manual processes, especially across thousands of assets within a large federal agency. This is precisely where Rapid7's closed-loop workflow becomes an absolute game-changer for federal agencies. It transforms that fire drill into a smooth, auditable, and automated process.
Okay, how does that work?
It all starts with Detect. As soon as CISA adds a new Common Vulnerabilities and Exposures, or CVE, to the KVP catalog, Rapid7's Insight VM's Emergent Threat Response, or ETR, program is instantly updated. This real-time intelligence feeds directly into the platform. Automated scans will then immediately identify every single affected asset across the agency's on-premise and cloud environments that is vulnerable to that new KEV, providing complete and immediate visibility into the agency's exact exposure. No guesswork.
Instant visibility. Got it.
Next, we move to prioritize. Insight VM's intelligent risk scoring, which critically considers both asset criticality, for example, is this a public-facing server or an internal test machine, and the broader threat context, is this KEV actively being exploited in the wild, allows security teams to immediately prioritize the remediation of the most critical systems. This ensures that the most dangerous exposures, the ones an attacker would target first, are addressed without delay.
Focus on what matters most first.
Exactly. Then comes respond. And this is where automation truly becomes a force multiplier. An Insight Connect workflow can be automatically triggered by the Insight VM detection. This workflow can then seamlessly integrate with the agency's existing IT Service Management, or ITSM, systems such as ServiceNow or Jira to automatically create and assign patching tickets without any human intervention. For more advanced scenarios, the workflow can directly integrate with patch management tools like Microsoft SCCM to deploy the required patch, or even with Network Access Control or NAC solutions to temporarily quarantine a vulnerable device from the network until it can be patched.
Wow, orchestrating the whole fix.
Precisely. This automated response can dramatically reduce the mean time to remediate, or MTTR, from weeks or months down to just hours or days, directly meeting CISA's aggressive timelines.
Hours or days instead of weeks or months. That's huge.
It's transformative. Finally, report. Throughout this entire process, InsightVM's customizable dashboards and reporting engine provide security leadership and compliance teams with a near real-time auditable view of their progress in meeting the directive's deadline. They can generate reports on demand to demonstrate compliance to CISA and the agency's inspector general, turning a potential compliance failure into a clear, documented success.
That's an incredible transformation. It takes something that's chaotic and high stress and turns it into an efficient, transparent process. No wonder agencies are looking for this kind of capability. It's about proving compliance, too.
It truly enables them to meet their mandates effectively, even with limited resources, and prove it.
Okay, shifting gears slightly. The NIST Cybersecurity Framework 2.0 is essentially the common language for risk management across the federal government. How does the Rapid7 Insight platform map directly to its six core functions, especially that new govern function that emphasizes strategic oversight?
You're absolutely right, Jordan. The NIST Cybersecurity Framework 2.0 is the strategic blueprint for federal agencies, and Rapid7's Insight platform aligns really well with all six functions, especially the new govern function, which brings strategic oversight right to the forefront of cybersecurity.
Okay, let's walk through them. How does it help with govern?
For govern, GV, which establishes and monitors the organization's cybersecurity risk management strategy, Rapid7 provides customizable risk scoring based on an agency's specific business context and asset criticality. It generates executive-level dashboards and reports on risk posture and trends, providing that clear, high-level view for leadership. It also supports policy compliance scanning against benchmarks like CIS with automated compliance evidence collection and enforcement of established security policies. This gives leadership the visibility and control to manage cyber risks strategically.
Makes sense. What about Identify?
For Identify ID, understanding current risks to systems, assets, and data. Rapid7's InsightVM comprehensively discovers all hardware and software assets across hybrid environments, identifies and catalogs vulnerabilities and misconfigurations. It maps network dependencies and communication paths, identifies users and service accounts, integrates seamlessly with configuration management databases, CMDBs, and catalogs web applications and APIs present in the environment. This ensures agencies have a complete and continuously updated inventory of their digital footprint, basically knowing what you have.
Critical first step. How does it protect?
For Protect PR, using safeguards to manage risks and protect critical infrastructure, Rapid7's platform prioritizes remediation efforts to protect the most critical assets first. It integrates with patch management tools to deploy safeguards, provides endpoint detection and prevention capabilities via the Insight Agent, continuously monitors for policy violations, can deploy deception technology to trap attackers early, automates protective controls through Insight Connect, and identifies application vulnerabilities before they are exploited using Insight AppSec. It's about putting the defenses in place.
Okay. And detect. Finding the bad guys.
For Detect DE, finding and analyzing possible attacks in a timely manner, Rapid7 detects new and emerging threats via emergent threat response. It identifies anomalous assets and configurations that could signal compromise, provides real-time detection of malware, stolen credentials, and lateral movement through user and entity behavior analytics in Insight IDR. It correlates security events with embedded threat intelligence and automates the enrichment of alerts from third-party tools, drastically reducing alert fatigue and accelerating triage.
Speeding up that detection piece, what about Respond?
For Respond, RS, taking action regarding an incident, Rapid7 provides critical data to inform incident response and containment priorities, offering detailed timelines and forensic data for investigations. It enables direct endpoint containment actions from the Insight IDR console, automates incident response playbooks for common scenarios like phishing or host containment via Insight Connect, coordinates actions across multiple security and IT tools, and provides attack replay for developers to understand and respond to application vulnerabilities post-incident.
And finally, recover. getting back to normal.
For Recover, RC, restoring assets and operations affected by an incident, Rapid7 provides pre-incident vulnerability data to inform recovery and hardening efforts, verifying that systems are clean and properly configured post-recovery. It offers a complete audit trail to confirm systems are restored to a known good state, automates post-incident actions like restoring user permissions or re-imaging machines, and ensures applications are restored without known vulnerabilities, thereby building resilience back into the system.
What's truly fascinating here, Taylor, is how a unified platform like Rapid7's can simplify not just the technical work, but also the reporting and demonstration of tangible progress against such a comprehensive framework. It really makes cybersecurity a strategic business conversation, not just a buried technical one, by translating complex actions into clear, executive-level insights about mission risk.
Absolutely. That strategic translation is key to gaining executive buy-in and, frankly, the funding needed to sustain these efforts.
Okay, let's zoom in now on the specific agencies within these massive federal departments. Starting with the Department of Homeland Security, it's a colossal organization. What's their core mission and what are their primary cybersecurity drivers?
The Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, was famously formed back in 2002 by combining 22 different federal departments and agencies, making it an incredibly vast organization with over 260,000 employees. Its core mission is singularly focused on securing the nation from the many threats it faces, encompassing everything from aviation and border security to emergency response and chemical facility inspection.
A huge mandate.
Immense. But at the heart of its modern mission is cybersecurity. Through its component agencies, DHS is responsible for protecting federal civilian networks, securing the nation's critical infrastructure, and investigating cybercrimes that threaten the homeland. The primary drivers for cybersecurity procurement within DHS are the relentless need to defend against sophisticated nation-state adversaries and the mandate to lead the entire federal government's efforts in cyber defense.
Which leads to the question, in an organization this vast, with such a broad mandate, how do you identify the highest impact targets for a new security platform? Where do you even start?
That's exactly the strategic challenge. You can't boil the ocean.
Yeah.
The strategic blueprint identifies several high-priority DHS components where Rapid7 can deliver significant immediate value.
Okay, so where should Rapid7 focus first within DHS?
First and foremost is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA.
Makes sense, given their role.
Exactly. CISA is essentially the nation's risk advisor and the operational lead for federal cybersecurity, with a substantial $1.7 billion cyber budget for fiscal year 2025. It's tasked with protecting FCEB networks and serving as the national coordinator for critical infrastructure security. Critically, CISA's technology choices heavily influence government-wide adoption and best practices.
They set the tone.
They really do. Their key initiatives include managing the CDM program, issuing and tracking those BODs and EDs we talked about, building a national risk architecture, and actively promoting a secure by design model across the industry. So the primary use cases for Rapid7 here are enhancing the CDM program by providing a next-gen solution with unified data and advanced risk analytics for a richer FCEB-wide risk view, improving national situational awareness by aggregating and analyzing threat data, and serving as a model for automated directive compliance by showcasing InsightVM and InsightConnect for rapid auditable KDV remediation, setting a precedent for other agencies.
What products fit best there?
The full Insight platform, really InsightVM, InsightIDR, InsightConnect plus Threat Command, and maybe MDR services for potential shared services models.
And who are the key people to talk to?
You'd target the CISA director, Jen Easterly, the CSO, Himent Badewan, the chief of cyber defense ops, the CDM program manager, security architects, SOC managers, threat intel analysts, and procurement officers.
And the core message.
The key value proposition is, provide CISA with a unified, real-time view of risk across the federal enterprise to fundamentally enhance the CDM program and enable automated, auditable compliance with its own directives, thereby improving national cyber resilience.
Okay, CISA's number one. Who's next?
Next, the U.S. Secret Service, or USSS. Their mission driver is unique, that dual mission of protection and investigation, squarely focused on safeguarding the nation's financial infrastructure and payment systems. They investigate financially motivated cybercrime, network intrusions, ransomware, fraud, which causes over $6 billion in annual economic loss.
A huge financial impact.
Massive. Their key initiatives are their cyber fraud task forces, CFTFs, which are powerful partnership models, and they have renowned advanced digital forensic expertise. So primary use cases for Rapid7. rapid network intrusion response using Insight IDR for immediate visibility, lateral movement tracking, and containment. Digital forensics and evidence collection using Insight IDR's robust logging and endpoint forensics for legally defensible evidence. And proactive threat intelligence from Rapid7's research on the latest TTPs of financial crime groups.
Which tools specifically?
Insight IDR is key, along with Insight VM, Insight Connect, and Threat Command.
And the personas.
You target the special agent in charge of a CFTF, network intrusion responders, and digital forensic examiners. The key value prop here. Accelerate cybercrime investigations by unifying forensic data, detecting attacker behavior in real time, and providing legally defensible evidence for prosecution, thereby safeguarding critical financial infrastructure.
Got it. Who else is high priority in DHS?
Then there's Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. As a federal law enforcement agency, ICE protects critical investigative and immigration data across its nationwide field offices, handling vast amounts of sensitive personal information. They must stringently comply with DHS policies and FBI CJIS security standards.
Lots of sensitive data there.
Extremely sensitive. Key initiatives include zero trust implementation, which is that OMB mandate by FY24, Homeland Security Investigations, or HSI, cyber defense, and their ongoing CJIS compliance program. Primary use cases. Supporting zero trust architecture with Insight IDR for user device monitoring and Insight VM for device posture. Bolstering HSI cyber defense using Rapid7's MDR service for 247 expert SOC monitoring. And streamlining CJIS compliance with Insight VM Insight IDR to satisfy stringent audit requirements.
Recommended products.
Insight IDR, Insight VM, MDR, Insight Connect, and Threat Command.
Target personas.
The ISO, CISO, and Deputy CISOs. The SOC manager. The compliance officer, and the head of HSI's tech cyber division, and the value proposition. Manage risk in a resource-constrained environment by identifying vulnerabilities, detecting intrusions, and automating enforcement of zero-trust policies for sensitive investigative data, ensuring compliance and mission continuity.
Okay, makes sense for ICE. One more major one.
Yes, Customs and Border Protection, or CBP. As one of the largest DHS components, CBP secures U.S. borders and ports of entry, operating a vast, complex IT environment legacy, Cloud Odyssey-S. They face roughly 100 million network cyber attempts daily.
100 million a day. Incredible.
It's staggering. Key initiatives include aggressive IT modernization, zero trust adoption, post-quantum cryptography pilots, and TTIC 3.0 implementation. Primary use cases. Enterprise vulnerability management using Insight VM for continuous scanning and remediation prioritized by risk. SOC modernization, piloting Insight IDR for advanced threat detection across their distributed network, including IT and OT. And TTIC 3.0 pilot support using Insight CloudSec for cloud posture and Insight Connect for automation across hybrid cloud.
Promise.
Insight VM, Insight AppSec, Insight IDR, Insight Connect, and Threat Command.
Key people.
CBP, Office of Information and Technology. OIT, leaders like the CISO and directors of cyber defense, border security tech managers, SUSTI security engineering chief, and procurement program managers. And the value prop. Provide a unified risk management platform to reduce attack surface across IT, OT, and cloud environments, modernize SOC operations, and maintain robust security parity in a distributed TTIC 3.0 architecture, safeguarding the nation's borders.
That's an incredibly targeted approach for DHS. It makes total sense to go after the components where the solution aligns so perfectly with their specific mission needs. But this raises an important question. With such diverse missions and specific needs, how do you make sure the message truly resonates with each of these groups? It can't be a one-size-fits-all sales pitch, right?
You've hit on a critical point, Jordan. It's absolutely about tailoring the value proposition specifically to their unique mission, their daily pain points, and their specific regulatory environment. You have to use their language and focus on how Rapid7 directly solves their most pressing challenges, not just rattle off a list of features. Mm. It has to connect directly to their world.
Right, speaking their language. Okay, let's shift our focus now to the Department of Justice. What's their core mission and how does cybersecurity factor into it, especially with their distinct emphasis on law enforcement and prosecution? It feels different from DHS's focus.
It is different, they're related. The Department of Justice, or DOJ, has a foundational mission to enforce the law, defend U.S. interests, ensure public safety, and administer justice for all Americans. In the digital age, this mission extends deeply into cyberspace, making the DOJ the nation's primary entity for the investigation and prosecution of federal cybercrimes, ransomware, computer intrusions, espionage, cyber-enabled terrorism, you name it. Unlike DHS, whose primary focus is often on defense and resilience, the DOJ's core drivers are attribution, figuring out who did it, meticulously collected evidence, and ultimately successful prosecution.
The burden of proof is high.
Extremely high. This requires cybersecurity solutions that not only detect and respond to threats, but also meticulously preserve data integrity and provide the granular forensic detail needed to build a case that will stand up in federal court. What's fascinating here is that while DHS is about defense and resilience, DOJ's focus on evidence and prosecution adds a critical, distinct layer to their cybersecurity requirements. The standard for digital evidence is incredibly high, and the tools have to support that.
That makes a lot of sense. So, with that unique focus in mind, our sources provide a strong roadmap for DOJ. Which divisions are the most critical targets for Rapid 7 here, and how does Rapid 7 address their specific needs for investigation and prosecution?
The roadmap for DOJ highlights several key divisions for Rapid 7 to prioritize, each with distinct and highly specialized needs, really leaning into that investigative and evidentiary requirement.
Okay, who's at the top of the list for DOJ?
The Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI Cyber Division, is undoubtedly the highest value target, their mission driver. The FBI is the lead federal agency for investigating cyber attacks and intrusions, with a clear mandate to impose costs on cyber adversaries by identifying, disrupting, and pursuing malicious actors. They lead the Multi-Agency National Cyber Investigative Joint Task Force, or NCIJTF, coordinating national responses.
They're on the front lines of cyber investigations.
Absolutely. Key challenges they face include the growing volume and sophistication of incidents, those blurry lines between criminal and nation-state actors, which complicates attribution, the constant need for rapid response by their cyber action teams nationwide, and extensive global collaboration requirements. So, primary use cases for Rapid 7: major incident response and threat hunting, where InsightIDR acts as a critical toolkit for cyber action teams, providing immediate endpoint visibility, attack path understanding, and rapid containment. Threat attribution support using InsightIDR's UEBA for anomalous activity and network traffic analysis for C2, correlating these with Rapid 7's threat intelligence for TTPs. And NCIJTF collaboration, positioning the Insight platform as a secure shared environment for data access and analysis among their 30-plus partner agencies.
Which products support that best?
InsightIDR is central, alongside Insight Connect, InsightVM Threat Command, and potentially MDR.
And the key personas?
You target the FBI Executive Assistant Director, EAD, for the Cyber Division, the FBI CISO, the head of their SOC, special agents on cyber action teams, task force coordinators and intel analysts, IT infrastructure managers, and of course, procurement and budget officials.
And the core message tailored for the FBI.
The key value proposition is dramatically accelerate incident response and attribution by unifying endpoint, network, and threat intelligence data into a single platform for investigation and collaboration, acting as a strategic force multiplier for critical national security investigations.
Makes sense. Who's next in line at DOJ?
Next, the National Security Division, NSD, their mission driver. The NSD integrates law enforcement and intelligence to combat national security threats, prosecuting cases involving espionage, export control violations, terrorism, and cyber-based threats from foreign adversaries. Very sensitive stuff. Key initiatives. They extensively use the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, for foreign intelligence collection, and crucially, leverage FISA-derived information as evidence in criminal prosecutions, which involves complex legal and evidentiary challenges. Their Counterintelligence and Export Control Section, or CES, plays a key role in prosecuting theft of sensitive data by foreign adversaries. Primary use cases for Rapid 7: counterintelligence investigations using InsightIDR deployed in sensitive networks to monitor for subtle signs of espionage, anomalous data access, suspicious network connections. Preservation of FISA-derived evidence where InsightIDR's secure, comprehensive time-stamped logging provides an immutable audit trail for legal defensibility. And insider threat detection with InsightIDR's UEBA, detecting deviations in user behavior.
Which products are key here? Forensics seem paramount.
InsightIDR is absolutely paramount here due to its focus on behavior analytics and forensic data integrity.
Target personas.
The Assistant Attorney General for NSD, the Section Chief for CES, and trial attorneys within NSD, both prosecutors and intelligence attorneys.
And the value prop for NSD.
It's very specific. Provide a forensically sound evidence collection platform that ensures the integrity and admissibility of digital evidence in complex national security prosecutions, significantly strengthening the ability to secure convictions against the nation's most sophisticated adversaries. It's all about the evidence.
Got it. Any other key divisions?
Yes, the U.S. Marshals Service, USMS. Their mission driver is unfortunately very clear right now. They suffered a major ransomware breach in 2023 that exposed sensitive law enforcement data, highlighting an urgent, immediate need for IT security modernization and zero trust implementation. They protect critical witness security information and sensitive investigative operations.
So they have a burning platform, unfortunately.
They really do. Key initiatives include a post-breach infrastructure refresh, participating as a component in DOJ's Zero Trust pilot, preparing for stringent CJIS audits, and fulfilling FISMA reporting obligations, primary use cases for Rapid7. Supporting their post-breach infrastructure refresh by implementing a full Rapid7 stack, InsightVM for vulnerabilities, InsightIDR for 247 monitoring, MDR for expert oversight, and Rapid7 incident response services for immediate support. Supporting their Zero Trust pilot using Insight Connect to enforce strict access controls and InsightIDR for continuous user behavior validation, and streamlining CJIS audit prep and FISMA reporting using Rapid7 tools to generate audit-friendly reports.
What's the recommended product mix?
A comprehensive suite. InsightVM, InsightIDR, Insight Connect, MDR, Rapid7 Incident Response Services, and Threat Command.
Key contact.
The USMS CIO and CSO, their Security Architect Director, the DOJ headquarters cybersecurity office overseeing them, and budget procurement officials. And the value proposition given the breach. It's about recovery and resilience. Provide a holistic solution to rapidly uplift cybersecurity maturity post-breach, identify and close critical vulnerabilities, provide 24/7 monitoring, automate response workflows, and simplify compliance reporting to restore trust and resilience in their vital operations.
That's a truly detailed roadmap, Taylor. What's crystal clear is that it's not just about selling a product to the DOJ. It's about being a trusted partner in some of the most sensitive, high-stakes operations in the country. That requires a very specific approach focused on evidential integrity and mission enablement, like you said.
Absolutely. Trust and reliability are paramount. It's about demonstrating value through mission enablement, legal defensibility, and operational reliability in those incredibly high-stakes environments. It's a different conversation than just selling features.
Okay, we've mentioned FedRAMP a few times, but let's dive deeper into why this authorization is such a significant competitive advantage for Rapid7, especially in the federal space, where procurement can be notoriously slow and complex.
Right. That FedRAMP moderate authorization achieved by Rapid7 in July 2025 is truly a game changer in the federal market, precisely because it addresses that procurement challenge head on. This authorization provides immediate deployment capability without agencies having to go through their own lengthy agency authorization to operate, or ATO, processes. Those ATOs, as we discussed, can often drag on for months, sometimes even over a year.
Creating huge delays.
Exactly. Significant delays and frustration for agencies trying to modernize quickly. The authorization specifically covers InsightVM, Insight ClientSec, and Insight Connect capabilities, giving Rapid7 a significant edge over competitors who may still be pursuing this rigorous certification for their cloud offerings, or who perhaps only have it for a subset of their platform. Essentially, FedRAMP provides both trust and expedience. From the initial procurement stage right through to deployment, InsightGov Cloud significantly reduces friction, inherently increases trust in the platform's security, and enables federal teams to act faster on critical security initiatives.
It's that third-party validation.
Exactly. It's an independent, comprehensive validation of Rapid7's security controls and architecture against the stringent NIST SP 853 standards. This level of vetting is a powerful signal of credibility. Furthermore, the InsightGov Cloud platform offers a U.S.-based, FIPS-compliant deployment, which is crucial for federal agencies that need to ensure their data remains in-country and meets specific cryptographic standards. What's truly fascinating here is how much this single authorization removes significant procurement headaches for federal agencies, making Rapid7 a much more attractive, ready-to-go solution in a market known for its complexity and bureaucracy. It really lets them leapfrog many competitors in the procurement race.
That's a huge strategic advantage right out of the gate. Okay, so in a world of tool sprawl, where agencies often have dozens, maybe even hundreds, of disparate security tools, how does Rapid7's integrated platform genuinely stand out against competitors like CrowdStrike, Splunk, and Tenable, who might offer powerful point solutions, but not necessarily that unified approach?
You've highlighted one of the federal government's biggest operational challenges: tool sprawl. It's a constant headache. Rapid7's unified platform approach is a critical differentiator here. Rapid7 offers comprehensive security coverage through a single vendor relationship, unlike many competitors who often require agencies to purchase and integrate multiple point solutions from different vendors to achieve similar coverage.
One throat to choke, so to speak.
Ha! Huh. Well, yes. Or perhaps more positively, one strategic partner to work with. This means federal agencies can get robust vulnerability management, sophisticated threat detection, and powerful automation capabilities all from one integrated platform and a single vendor. This approach significantly reduces complexity for agencies. It eliminates security gaps that can merge between disparate tools that don't communicate effectively, and it often provides significant cost advantages for agencies operating with constrained budgets. Instead of managing multiple contracts, numerous integration points, and different support teams, agencies deal with a single cohesive system and a single point of contact. The Command Platform API and cross-product data sharing are key enablers here, facilitating seamless integration and data correlation across all of Rapid7's solutions.
Which feeds into that federal push for tool rationalization.
Precisely. This directly addresses federal IT leaders' strong push for tool rationalization, helping agencies reduce overlapping tool costs and vastly improve their overall security visibility by consolidating their security stack. It's not just about features. It's about operational efficiency, cost savings, and ultimately better security outcomes.
So it's not just about selling a product. It's about offering a strategy for simplifying security operations, which, as we've discussed, is incredibly appealing given the resource constraints and talent shortages these agencies face.
Exactly. It's about achieving greater security maturity and operational efficiency without increasing the burden on already stretched teams. It's a very compelling message.
Okay, beyond the technology itself, what other factors give Rapid7 the significant leg up in navigating the intricate federal procurement landscape, which, as we know, is a beast of its own? Having great tech isn't always enough.
That's absolutely true. Navigating federal procurement requires established credibility and proven access channels. Rapid7 has several key advantages here that make them a low-friction choice for agencies. Firstly, its presence on the DHS CDM Approved Products List, APL, provides significant credibility and streamlined procurement access. Rapid7's on-premise solutions Nexpos, Insight VM's predecessor, AppSpider, now Insight AppSec, and Metasploit Pro were approved for the CDM APL back in 2022.
So they're already vetted for that major program.
Correct. This means these tools have already met DHS's rigorous interoperability and efficacy criteria for the CDM program, making it significantly easier for agencies to acquire them through established channels without starting from scratch. Secondly, Rapid7 has demonstrated support for various critical federal compliance requirements, including DoD CORA, CJIS, and CMMC standards. This positions Rapid7 not just as a commercial vendor trying to break into government, but as a proven federal security partner that deeply understands and helps agencies meet their unique regulatory obligations. They speak the language of federal compliance.
That understanding is key.
It is. Third, and crucially, Rapid7 has a strategic partnership with Carahsoft Technology Corporation. Carahsoft is an absolute dominant force in the federal market distribution space, holding an astounding 72.1% market share and managing $1.38 billion in federal contracts.
Oh, that's huge market share.
It's incredible. Their partnership provides Rapid7 with essential federal market access through GSA schedule contracts and an extensive reseller network, ensuring that DHS and DOJ decision makers can easily find and procure Rapid7 solutions through familiar and trusted channels. It greases the procurement wheel significantly. Finally, while specific agency deployments are often sensitive and not publicized, Rapid7's public materials and partnerships hint at existing federal and public sector adoption. Testimonials and case studies from various public sector organizations exist, and federal systems integrators like Maximus are listed as customers. Plus, Metasploit, Rapid7's widely respected open-source penetration testing framework foundation, is extensively used by government red teams and security researchers, giving Rapid7 a strong grassroots reputation within the federal cybersecurity community.
So they have credibility from the ground up and the top down.
Exactly. What's fascinating here is how Rapid7 clearly has the full ecosystem covered: the tech, the compliance understanding, the procurement vehicles, the partnerships, and the grassroots credibility, making them a low friction, high trust choice for federal agencies.
That's a critical point. It's not just about the tech. You need to understand and master the entire procurement and trust ecosystem. Okay, finally, Taylor. How do broader industry trends like consolidation among cybersecurity vendors play into Rapid7's favor in this highly competitive federal market?
Industry trends are definitely shaping the competitive landscape, Jordan, and Rapid7 is actually quite well-positioned to capitalize on them. One significant example is Cisco's massive $28 billion acquisition of Splunk. This creates a considerable opportunity for Rapid7 to position itself as an independent, focused alternative to large conglomerates.
Agencies might prefer a pure-play security vendor.
Sometimes, yes. Federal agencies are often wary of potential vendor lock-in with massive corporations that have diverse, sometimes conflicting, business units or shifting priorities. An independent player like Rapid7 can offer a compelling alternative that is dedicated solely to cybersecurity, providing agility and focused innovation without the baggage of a larger corporate structure. Furthermore, there's that growing preference for platform consolidation within federal agencies that we keep coming back to. As we've discussed, agencies are increasingly looking to move away from fragmented security toolsets with multiple vendors. They prefer comprehensive platforms that offer integrated capabilities through a single vendor relationship. This trend aligns perfectly with Rapid7's Unified Insight Platform approach, which directly addresses the push for tool rationalization and simplification within the federal IT landscape.
So their independence and platform approach work together.
Exactly. What's truly fascinating here is how Rapid7 can leverage its agility and focused expertise as an independent player to meet the federal government's demand for holistic yet flexible security solutions, offering perhaps a more streamlined path compared to navigating the potentially complex product lines and integration challenges of larger, more diverse technology companies.
Okay, so if Rapid7 is going to make this massive opportunity a reality, who are the absolute highest priority federal targets at the leadership level? Who are the strategic influencers they must engage with to really move the needle?
To maximize impact and drive enterprise-wide adoption, Rapid7 really needs to engage with the strategic influencers at the highest levels, the people who can champion the platform across components. Within DHS, top priorities include CISO Himant Baidwan, appointed in April 2024, who oversees cybersecurity strategy across DHS's massive $100.9 billion budget. He's a key decision maker. CIO Eric Heisen also holds direct influence on component agency security tool selection and overall IT modernization strategy. And as we discussed, CISA Director Jen Easterly is critical. Her position as the operational lead for federal cybersecurity makes her team a crucial influencer for government-wide security tool adoption and setting best practices.
Okay, key leaders at DHS, HQ, and CISA. What about DOJ?
For the DOJ, CIFU Team Nguyen is central. He manages cybersecurity across the department's $3.1 billion IT portfolio, with direct oversight of the FBI, DEA, ATF, and other component security requirements. He's the top cyber leader there. Beyond these departmental level leaders, engaging with the component level CISOs at agencies like the FBI and U.S. Marshals Service is also vital. They represent additional crucial decision makers with specific operational security needs that Rapid7 can address effectively.
So targeting both departmental and component leadership?
Exactly. But this raises an important question. It's not enough to just talk to the top brass. To actually close deals and achieve widespread adoption, you need to understand and actively engage with the three critical stakeholder categories for any major federal sale.
That makes a lot of sense. So what are these critical stakeholder categories, and what truly motivates federal decision makers when they're evaluating security tools beyond just the technical specs or the C-suite sign-off?
Understanding these three distinct stakeholder categories is absolutely paramount for successful federal sales. Rapid7 needs to build simultaneous relationships and tailor their message across all of them. First, you have the technical customers. These are the folks in the trenches, the SOC managers, security engineers, vulnerability analysts, and operational staff who will actually use Rapid7's tools on a daily basis.
The end users.
Precisely. They are concerned with efficacy, ease of use, seamless integration with existing systems, and, crucially, how the solution will alleviate their day-to-day pain points like alert fatigue, manual processes, and the sheer volume of threats they face. They want a tool that makes their jobs easier and more effective, period. Second, there are the funding sources. These are the program managers, budget analysts, and executive leaders who control the cybersecurity budgets and allocate resources. Their primary motivations include demonstrating a strong return on investment, ROI, ensuring compliance with all mandates, and improving operational efficiency within often strict budget constraints. They need to see the strategic value and the financial justification clearly laid out.
Show them the money or the risk reduction.
Essentially, yes. And third, we have the acquisition professionals. These are the contracting officers and procurement specialists who manage the entire procurement process, ensuring compliance with federal acquisition regulations, the FIR, and available contract vehicles. They're looking for solutions that are FedRAMP authorized on relevant approved products lists like CDM APL and available through established contract mechanisms like GSA schedules or Carahsoft partnerships to streamline the purchasing process and reduce bureaucratic hurdles. They want the path of least resistance, procurement-wise.
Making it easy to buy is crucial.
Absolutely. Success in the federal market absolutely requires simultaneous relationship building and tailored messaging across all three categories. You need the tech users excited, the budget holders convinced of the value, and the contracting officers comfortable with the process. Federal decision makers, regardless of their specific role, are primarily driven by four overarching priorities when evaluating security tools: quantifiable risk reduction, demonstrable operational efficiency, accelerated compliance, and direct mission enablement. Rapid7's value proposition must clearly demonstrate how it achieves quantifiable threat mitigation, for example, showing metrics on reduced vulnerabilities, faster detection times, clear time and cost savings, for example, through automation freeing up FTEs, undeniable regulatory fulfillment, checking those mandate boxes, and direct support for agency mission objectives. How does this help CBP secure the border or FBI catch criminals?
Tying it back to the mission.
Always. And to make this compelling, it's crucial to use strong ROI justification. For example, reminding them that the average federal data breach costs $4.88 million. An operational downtime due to cyber incidents can cost an astounding $11,000 per hour. Presenting these hard numbers makes the case for investing in comprehensive security platforms like Rapid7's incredibly powerful and translate security spend into tangible business and mission impact.
Okay, that's a sophisticated approach. It sounds like a complex dance, balancing the needs of tech users, budget holders, and procurement pros, but with a clear rhythm driven by quantifiable results that speak to every stakeholder's priorities.
Right.
Now, federal procurement isn't exactly known for being fast. What's the typical timeline Rapid7 should expect for these kinds of major deals, and what's their strategy for long-term engagement to really embed themselves as a strategic partner, not just a one-off vendor?
You're absolutely right, Jordan. Federal procurement is indeed a marathon, not a sprint. Patience and persistence are virtues here. Typically, major cybersecurity acquisitions involve 12, 18-month sales cycles, sometimes longer, from initial contact to contract award. So a long-term strategy is absolutely key. The optimal strategy for Rapid7 involves pre-RFP engagement, getting in early to understand agency needs and subtly influence requirements before a formal request for proposal even drops. It involves securing progressive contract awards, maybe starting with a pilot or a single component, then expanding to build a strong record of past performance within the agency or department. And it requires continuous coalition building across all those stakeholder categories we just discussed: technical, financial, and acquisition, keeping everyone engaged and supportive throughout the long cycle.
So playing the long game, how does that translate into a roadmap?
To execute this effectively, Rapid7 needs a phased implementation roadmap, thinking in terms of quarters and years. Phase 1, Q1, Q2, initial engagement and beachhead establishment. The primary focus here is on securing those initial meetings with key decision makers and influencers within the absolute highest priority components, think CISA within DHS and the FBI Cyber Division within DOJ. The goal is to secure initial pilot program or smaller component-level deals. For instance, demonstrating automated directive compliance at CISA or enhanced incident response capabilities for an FBI cyber action team. Get that first win.
Prove the value quickly.
Exactly. Success metrics for this phase include robust pipeline development, a strong base of qualified federal prospects, and those crucial initial federal contract awards that build credibility and establish internal champions who can advocate for wider adoption. Phase 2. Q3, Q4, expansion and internal reference building. Once initial successes are achieved, the strategy shifts to leveraging those wins, the metrics they've generated, and the internal champions who now advocate for Rapid7. The goal is to expand into adjacent high-priority components. Within DHS, this means targeting the U.S. Secret Service, ICE Homeland Security investigations, and Customs and Border Protection, using the CISA success story as a powerful internal reference. Within DOJ, it involves extending from the FBI into the National Security Division and the Criminal Division's CCIPS section, showcasing how the platform supports their unique missions.
Using early wins to open more doors.
Precisely. Success metrics here include measurable federal market share growth within DHS-DOJ, high customer satisfaction scores from the initial deployments, and the development of strong reference customers who can vouch for the platform internally to their peers and other components. Phase 3, year 2 and beyond. Enterprise standardization. With successful implementations across multiple key components in both departments, the ultimate objective is to engage directly with the departmental-level CIOs and CSOs at both DHS and DOJ headquarters. The aim is to strategically position the Insight GovCloud platform as a departmental standard for unified security operations. This involves potentially consolidating spend from numerous legacy point products and driving larger multi-year enterprise license agreements, or ELAs, that cover the entire department.
Going for the big enterprise deal.
That's the long-term goal. Success metrics for this final phase include achieving market leadership within these critical departments, building a comprehensive federal customer base, and demonstrating measurable, significant contributions to overall federal cybersecurity improvements across the entire department. It's a clear path, but it requires sustained effort to become that indispensable strategic partner.
It's clear this is a marathon, not a sprint, like you said. But with a well-defined path to becoming an indispensable strategic partner for some of the most critical federal agencies protecting our nation.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, Jordan, the strategic case for DHS and DOJ adopting Rapid7 solutions is, well, it's undeniably compelling. Their FedRAMP authorization, their CDM approval, and a truly comprehensive integrated platform directly address the escalating threats and mandatory compliance burdens these agencies face. At the same time, they offer operational efficiencies that are desperately needed to combat those persistent talent shortages. It's not just about selling a product, it's about Rapid7 being a strategic partner in mission assurance, enabling these critical departments to move beyond just reactive defense to proactive, sustainable cyber resilience. This is about delivering measurable, tangible security improvements for America's critical infrastructure and essential government missions.
A really strong case. So what does this all mean for you, our listener? Consider this. In an era where cyber warfare is the new battlefield, the effectiveness of our nation's defense and justice systems increasingly hinges on the unseen power of integrated intelligent security platforms like the ones we've discussed today. Here's something to think about. What foundational shift in thinking do you believe is most critical for federal agencies to fully embrace this future, beyond just acquiring the tools themselves, to truly achieve that necessary level of cyber resilience in the face of determined adversaries? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into why Rapid7 is positioned to be such a pivotal player in securing our nation's digital frontier. Until next time, stay curious and keep learning.